This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 385 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
What up, John? I got short timer syndrome. I worked today. I got to work tomorrow. I'm heading to Philadelphia on Wednesday for a few days to go catch a bunch of wrestling with my pals. And I'm missing the storm and I feel bad. Because my wife's going to have to deal with all the snow. So I told my oldest son, you better get your ass over there and clean the driveway for your stepmother. Because I'm not going to be home.
And to which he responded.
Yes, I will.
Okay. That's good.
Actually, the last three times I've asked him about cleaning the driveway, he has done it.
Cool.
Without arguing or puffing. He just did it. But I'll be home Sunday, in which it's going to be nice come Sunday. Day before the old eclipsy. And, yeah, whatever's left in the driveway, I'll take care of that.
Thanks.
What about you? So that's I got short timer syndrome.
I've been working my ass off at work, and then as you probably noticed behind me, I've been packing up, getting ready because the 26th is our closing day. So, yep. I got to book a U-Haul. I had to message my property manager for this place and say, hey, you know, there's a busted down old car out in the yard. You going to move that so that I can, you know, finagle a moving truck in here? And she's like, oh, they're supposed to move it, but I'll see if I can help you. Great. I'd love to have it out by the 27th.
Just call Ready Road Service. Have them tow the vehicle at the owner's expense.
Right?
Yep.
She knows who the owner is, so she's rented to them multiple times. But yeah, other than that, it's just been like work and packing and work and packing, and I'm friggin' exhausted.
It's exciting though. And then you'll get to your new place and you'll unpack and you'll be like, oh no, I don't have enough stuff to fill up this house. I better get more stuff.
That's pretty much what it's going to be. Cause here we're a little too cramped. We've stopped getting stuff. We're like, no, we don't have a place to put that. We don't have a place to put that. So now it's going to be the opposite. We're going to be like, oh shit, we got to fill in some of these gaps. And I'm looking forward to that part of it.
Got to get more stuff.
Yep.
Pardon me but very much.
We've been off for 2 weeks and we're back now. Yeah. And I got some stuff to talk about.
I got a few things. Not a lot of TV shows. I have, I completely forgot Invincible is back. I got to watch that.
This week is going to be the season finale. So.
Yeah, I got to get on that. Kate and I watched, we finished Little House on the Prairie.
This watch through.
Yes.
Start back at the beginning?
Not right off. This is my first complete watch through. We finished with the movie there, The Final Farewell, where they blew up the town.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, so mining tycoon guy. So all the town, Walnut Grove, where the Ingalls and everybody lived, it was all homesteader land.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, just go out and throw a stake in the ground and it's yours. Well,
right.
But then they didn't like technically buy it.
Right.
And so this guy went and bought it from the state or whatever out from underneath them because there was no owner of lading on hand or whatever. So he legally went out and purchased the land out from underneath them. And instead of allow it, so they have the land, but they decided the buildings were there, so they dynamited them.
Wow.
And blew up the whole town. Blew up all the buildings and the structures. And when the guy showed up to be like, oh, I want them arrested, the army was like, man, didn't break any laws. You don't own the buildings, you own the land. They can do what they want with their buildings. Yeah. So, but that was the season slash series finale.
Damn. So,
and apparently the reason why they did that is because Michael Landon was so pissed off that they canceled the show after 9 seasons that they did the 3 TV movies to wrap it up. And then the last one, he blew up all the sets and everything.
Well,
and they legit blew them up. Like, they legit dynamited all these sets and blew them up.
Not quite as dark as the Dinosaurs finale, but that's pretty dark.
Oh, the Dinosaurs finale. And do you remember the, what was that TV show? In the trailer park. And the series finale ended with a tornado that basically killed everybody because the tornado, like, took them away.
Oh, damn. What are you thinking of? Trailer Park Boys?
No, it's an older show.
Oh.
Storm Chasers.
Doesn't sound familiar. Mike's looking it up. That's why it's silent.
Yeah, I am. Sorry. Keep going. All I'm getting is like Night of the Twisters. And
There have been a number of dark finales. Like, sometimes they're dark just because they didn't get a chance to finish off the way that they wanted to. And sometimes they're dark, like, you know, we were saying Dinosaurs or blowing up the town in Little House on the Prairie. Dinosaurs are so like, you basically sit there and watch them on the night when the meteor falls and they're all going to die. Like, they're heading into the Ice Age. They're all going to die. They are prepared for this. And they're kind of like, what are we going to do now? And they're going to die. It's dark.
It was a TV show called Grand.
Okay.
Aired for 2 seasons on NBC. It was a Carsey Werner type TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And it revolved around 3 interrelated families from different social classes, the wealthy Weldons, the impoverished Pasatellis, and the mid-class Smithsons, who lived in the fictional rural town of Grand, Pennsylvania. And it was almost like it was in the vein of soap almost.
Okay.
The finale was entitled Blow Off, had an apparent stab at NBC's indecision regarding the show. The episode concluded with the town of Grand being devastated by a tornado and the disappearance of the entire cast, except for one person who's seen walking through going like, where is everybody?
Wow.
Because I remember that very well. Yep. That is about it.
So you said you haven't watched a lot of TV shows.
No, not really. What have you watched for TV shows?
Quite a few. Ghosts is on hiatus right now, so I haven't checked out any more of that. It's still been a really good season. Resident Alien, we are now up to episode 6 of season 2, so we're closing in on season 3. I'll let you know soon.
Let me know when I can watch it.
Yep. iZombie, we finished season 1. Damn good show. I still recommend this to everybody. It's so much fun. Person of Interest are still going strong on that at the gym. I was talking to Julie about it the other day. One of the things that I like about this show is, like, normally when you have a procedural, you know, like your Law and Orders or your CSIs or any of these, most of the episodes are Monster of the Week.
Yeah.
You know, most of them are, here's a case, open to shut. You get to know a little bit more about the characters. You get a little bit more of, you know, some banter, or maybe, like, you know, in this particular episode, you talk to one of the characters and you find out that they have a traumatic past that relates to this. But with Person of Interest, every episode adds a little more world building. It adds a little more character development. It adds another layer. And it just keeps growing. There's nothing really stagnant about it, because you could very easily have each episode be a number pops up, they solve the case, game over. But there's always the stuff going on with Fusco and Carter and, you know, Reese trying to figure out what Finch, you know, where he lives and who he really is. Then you get the flashbacks, and there's just so much that they do in an episode that builds on the world that it's really nice.
And who knew Fusco was going to be such a great character?
Right?
When he first got introduced, he was kind of a sleazy POS.
Yes. Yeah. And look now.
Yeah. I like the episode where they introduced the dog. What's the dog's name? I like
Bear.
Okay, it is Bear. Yes.
Yep. I'm waiting for that one. The dog.
I love that episode so much when he's like, he doesn't respect you. That's why he doesn't listen to you. And then he does like a single voice command and the dog like snaps too. And then the scene is he walks out, everyone's screaming and yelling. And then the dog runs out after him. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
And then becomes a recurring character.
Yes.
Invincible, but you haven't watched that, so I won't talk about that. But yeah, by the time we record again, the season finale will have happened, so you've got some catching up to do, sir.
Yeah, and I don't know if I probably won't watch a whole lot this week because, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be around.
We're balls deep in season two of Extraordinary, the one about the girl who doesn't have the power. It's still a great, fun show. You know, it's a good half-hour watch. That's all I got to say about that. Nice. Started watching The Bear. That one that's on FX and Hulu?
I just can't stand the friggin' cousin, man. I just can't stand him.
Which one?
The Bear? The guy that...
is going to be the thing?
Main character. Yeah, not the main character, but his cousin, who is just like, that's not how we do things. We do things like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fucking
hate
him.
System.
Whatever, man. I hate him.
Yeah. He's, like I said, he's going to be Thing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I have watched the only three episodes available right now of X-Men 97.
Okay. I watched the first episode and I was like, man, this is super nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't watch anymore.
It's nostalgic. I'll give you that. It's good with an asterisk. Like this third episode, they took the entire run of the Madeline Pryor Goblin Queen story that spanned many, many comics, had its own graphic novel, and they condensed it down into a half an hour episode, like start to finish the whole thing. And it felt a little cheap that way, but I understand it's a kid's show. It's meant for both nostalgia and young people. And so I get that they have to keep moving things along, but I don't know. I felt a little cheated by it. Still good, but.
Yep. Well, remember the meme I sent you.
Yes. Yeah.
Never forget what they took away from you. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, absolutely. Still no news on why the director and producer, the guy who was in charge of it all, got fired before it came out. I still haven't heard anything.
It's kind of interesting how that came about, but whatever. Yeah.
But yeah, those are the shows that we've been watching amidst all the work and packing and. What else have you been watching for shows?
The Conners. You know, we're watching that. At least I am. There was only one episode on the last 2 weeks. Still solid. Still a good show. Still, you know, enjoying the hell out of it, quite frankly. Let's see. For new TV shows, that's pretty much it. I'll say Kate and I are still watching Cold Case. We're on our watch through on that. We've kind of taken a little back step because we started another new old show, Centennial. We've watched the first three episodes. It's on Stars. I have Stars now because my buddy has Stars and he gave me his login.
Nice.
Yeah. Which is how I watched a couple movies I'm going to talk about later because they were on Stars.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So Centennial is a book that came out, I want to say, in 76. 1976. And okay. It's a very long, 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 like 1,000+ page book. And it tells the story of these interconnected families that takes place back in the, I think it starts in like 1795, and right now we're up to 1845. And it just tells this really good story of these different, like, out west, like fur traders and Indian Native Americans and everything else. And the series aired from like late 79 to early 1980.
Okay.
And it's 12 episodes, right? Mm-hmm. But the first episode is 2.5 hours long. And then each subsequent episode is 1.5 hours, and there's 12 of them. So it's a lot of viewing to watch. The book was really good. The book is very detailed. The author, James Michener, he's a very very thorough, detailed writer. So let's see here. Yeah, it takes place. The miniseries follows a fictional history of Centennial, Colorado, from 1795 to the 1970s. It's based on a 1974 novel. Let's see here. And there's like each episode takes place. Like, first episode begins in 1756. Next one starts in 1816, and then 1845, and then 1851, and then 1861. And now the Civil War started, but we're out west, so shouldn't be dealing with that too much. And it just kind of brings the family all the way up through. And I read the book at Kate's recommendation. The cast is pretty enormous. Names you might recognize. I mean, Raymond Burr, Robert Conrad, Timothy Dalton, Cliff DeYoung, Andy Griffith, Merle Haggard, Mark Harmon, Donald Pleasance. So many people, because it's like over 100 speaking parts in this. It's really, really good. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And when we read the book, like, some of my favorite characters were early on. Yeah, it's good. It's on Stars. Like I said, it's 12 parts. So we're plucking through it.
Thanks.
We're midway through season 5 on Cold Case. We got, there's 7 seasons on that. And then, oh man, I am struggling through season 4 of The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, why is that?
Seasons 1 through 3 were fantastic. They were, 30-minute episodes. There was really not a bad episode. Like, there's not a single one I would be like, oh, I didn't like that. Some are better than others, obviously, but all very solid. I think it's because the storytelling is distinct. You know what I mean? Like, it's not drawn out.
Okay.
Well, in season 4, the network said, hey, we're going to go to 1 hour. And it's almost like they had written scripts for 30-minute, for half-hour episodes, and then just stretched them out to 1 hour. And so now the stories feel too long and drawn out, and they're kind of not very good, and they lose that impactfulness of it because there's so much extra fluff in there. And this season only has 18 episodes, as opposed to the other seasons, I'll have like 30+. And I'm 8 episodes in, and it is a struggle. Oh, it's a struggle.
Okay.
There's really not any, and I've never seen any of them, because when you watch it in reruns, like on when you've watched it in reruns over the year, they only show the half hour episodes.
Oh, gotcha.
So I'm hoping to find one I like. With everyone, I'm like, you could edit this down to a 30-minute episode. It'd probably be really damn good.
Cut out some of the fluff.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's really it for TV shows.
Okay.
My wife is watching The Traitor. That's just garbage.
The Traitor?
Yeah.
Like Trader Joe's?
No, like Traitors, like live action Among Us.
Oh, gotcha.
The Traitors.
Wait a minute. That's a current show.
Yeah, I know. She's watching that. I'm not.
Oh, okay. You had me scared for a second there.
It's with Alan Cummings.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the host.
Yep.
He's the best part. The rest is just fucking garbage. It's garbage. Garbage.
garbage.
Yeah. My wife's eating it up.
Reality TV can suck you in.
The other thing I've been watching is Dark Side of the Ring. I've been rewatching. I don't have the most recent season yet. I haven't purchased it yet. I will when I get back from Philly. But I've been watching the previous season because it's been long enough that it's a good time to rewatch them. And it's just phenomenal, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
I was like, is he done? He just took his headset off. He's like, I'm done. Fucking out of here.
No, I had to take my glasses off to fix something, but I couldn't take my glasses off without taking my headset off. So. You got any more shows to discuss?
I do not.
And I've been looking, and there's nothing coming down the pike either.
For shows?
Yeah.
I have a couple of them that I'm excited for.
I mean, there's the new Star Wars show, The Acolyte, of course.
Yep.
But
that doesn't come for a while. Ripley starts this week on Netflix, the black and white version of The Talented Mr. Ripley with the priest from Fleabag / Moriarty.
That's right. I forgot that was starting this week.
And then Fallout starts in 11 days. That's going to be good.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Something else. Oh, 25 days from now, Knuckles comes on Paramount.
I will actually
check that out.
Watch it.
The Veil looks pretty good. I sent you that trailer, the one with Elizabeth Moss, and she's like a spy.
Yes.
That's going to be on Hulu.
I would agree with that. That does look pretty damn good.
40 days until Doctor Who comes back with space babies.
Well, I mean, I'm excited about Doctor Who coming back. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. For some reason, I almost said, because I'm a red-blooded American, so I'm excited for this British TV show.
And 73 days from now, The Boys comes back.
Yeah. So again, but there's like, I don't feel like we had, usually like for our entire life, practically, every fall, there's a huge influx of TV shows.
Yep.
And we have like a list and we go through the fall preview and the mid-season replacements and on and on and on. And it just this year, I know it's the writer's strike, but this year it's just been like nothing. Just like a slow trickle of shows coming out. And none of them overly spectacular.
Mm. Oh, I hear you.
That's just kind of my theory on that. Oh, and I guess this is technically a TV show, but it was more like a mini-series event. I don't know. We watched all four episodes of Quiet on the Set.
Oh, I have not watched any of that, but it has been all over my TikTok, so I pretty much know everything.
Okay, so this is what I will say. Hold on, this is what I will say about it.
Okay.
I think a lot of shitty stuff happened.
Yep.
What I think you can summarize it is you had a predator who took advantage of one person that we're aware of. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not obviously excusing that. And potentially there could be other victims. We just don't know who they are, but one person's come forward and talked about it. So you have a predator that took advantage of one person from one TV show. Then you have a really like not a nice guy to work for. You basically have a horrible boss. You know the movie Horrible Bosses?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you had a horrible boss. You had a sexist boss who got power hungry and egotistical and got a complex of I can do nothing wrong and I'm the greatest. And he just was a real shitty person to work for. Is what it comes down to it. And he got too much power and his bosses got him away with it. Let him get away with it for far too long. Doesn't that sound like a typical of at least one place you've worked in your life? If not more.
For the most part.
Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? A boss that's got all kinds of power and takes advantage of that power and his bosses let him get away with it.
Yeah.
For far too long. Right. Right. Yes. Exactly. And that's what this was about. You know, he was just not a nice guy to work for if he didn't like you. If he liked you, he was a great guy to work for. And he wasn't fair to people, and he didn't seem to be too fair to women. But he wasn't a pedophile doing stuff like that. So when people are being really dramatic and like, oh, can you give that to him? My childhood was ruined. Oh, no, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was a show about a bad boss, and one episode was about a kid that got victimized by a pedophile. So that's essentially what it was.
Who are you calling the pedophile, and who are you calling the bad boss?
Dan.
Sure. Holden?
What? Schneider? Schneider?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the bad boss. He was the producer at Nickelodeon that created all these teen shows.
Uh-huh.
And then the pedophile was the guy that worked. He was a voice coach.
Okay.
So.
Because everything that I've been seeing also says that Dan was the massager, the hands-on guy, the one who made everybody uncomfortable.
He didn't put his hands on anybody. He did request people give him massages, which was highly inappropriate.
Uh-huh.
But like it was like the costume person, and they felt like they had to. So he was the one that was constantly asking for massages, but he wasn't actually touching anyone himself. And he was taking advantage of the kids to skyrocket his career by kind of latching onto them as they got skyrocketed. But granted, it was because of a show he created, but then he jumped on their coattails and wrote, you know, and followed them to the top, specifically Amanda Bynes. And, you know, but then Amanda Bynes had shitty parents along the way as well. And yeah, it wasn't, you got to watch it. You really need to watch it because it's not, yeah, you really need to watch it.
I think I will.
Do you know who the victim was?
Drake.
Okay, yeah. Like, that one episode was all about him.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to him was absolutely god-awful terrible.
Oh,
absolutely terrible. And then there's another story that's told by this mom, AJ, about her daughter, Brandy. I think those were all fake names, but they never talked to Brandy. And I'm like, is Brandy dead? Like, where's this leading? And ultimately, in the end, Brandy didn't want to talk. And it seems like this was a stage mom trying to get a few more minutes of fame. And the majority of the talking heads that are on the episode are like these reporters or industry insiders who make mountain out of molehills in some areas or look for stuff where there's not. But they're the ones that kind of did the reporting on it. But to me, I'm just like, I don't want to hear from you. I want to hear from like the executive producer that worked on the show, the cameraman that worked on the show, like all the other people they talked to that actually had firsthand experience. That's whose stories I want to hear. That's whose stories I believe, not the reporter who's making a summation. And yeah, is there some adult humor in there? Absolutely. Is there stuff that they shouldn't have had in these kids shows? Because who's this really yeah, these are for kids, not for adults. Absolutely. But when you see one incident, you don't think about it that way. But then when someone does put them all together and they show you incident after incident after incident across multiple shows, then you just go like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess he was using some inappropriate humor in these shows. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd really like for you to watch a show and...
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out. Like I said, I've been seeing a lot of stuff on my TikTok, but I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I mean, yes, what happened was terrible. I think it's more of just a situation of a shitty boss.
Interesting.
And he didn't treat people the best, you know, like telling one little girl like, hey, we already have one fat kid on the show. You need to like kind of lose some weight. And then like puberty hits and all of a sudden she becomes like a doll. And it's like, whoa, you can't be that attractive. We already have the hot girl on the show. Like stuff like that. Like that's, you know, not cool for kids. You don't say
stuff
like that.
That's not cool for adults.
I know, but I'm just saying
that's not cool for adults. You can't say that's not cool for kids. Like,
I'm just saying though, like, but the point of the show is about the kids on the show. So yeah, I mean, I think there's some tremendous over exaggeration of people, of their emotional takeaways from this show. I tend to feel like most people probably haven't seen the actual show and just saw the trailer or the little video clips out of context or something. I think if you actually sit down and watch the show, you'll be like, yeah, there's some bad stuff that shouldn't happen. It's a good thing they've taken care of this. This is not a Harvey Weinstein Miramax type scenario.
Harvey.
You know what I mean? So.
Okay.
But yeah, I just got movies after that.
Yeah, that's all I got. Movies and then, you know,
movies.
Trailers, news. Five.
I got five.
Wow. How'd we tie? Well, you'll remember two or three.
Maybe. Oh, shit. Yeah, no, I got more than that.
Yeah. Only two were new to me.
I saw a few. Well, you know, actually, one, two, three, four, five. All six were new to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I'll start with a couple of Starz movies.
Okay.
I watched Expendables 4.
Oh. How'd that treat you?
It's a movie I watched.
Okay.
It wasn't bad. It was very predictable. It's definitely not the best movie in the franchise by any means. You know, Jason Statham kills a shit ton of people. No surprise there. But I mean, it's over the top 80s action, killing, shooting, explosions. It's not a bad flick. It's just not tremendous by any means. Here's the worst part of the entire movie.
Okay.
Iko Uwais.
Yep.
Bad guy in the movie. He's got some martial arts chops, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
You know, Mararentu, The Raid, 21 yeah. Blocks. I mean,
absolutely.
Great, great actor. Great actor, great action star, great fighting skills. Tony Jaa's in the movie. Tony Jaa's a good guy. He's
got a few skills, I'd say.
He's got some martial arts skills, and some stunt skills, and he's made a few hit action movies, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I see they're both in the movie, and all I'm thinking is, man, I can't wait for the fight scene between these two. Because who's the fucking moron that's going to make a movie with these two people in it and not have them have a fight scene, you know? Apparently the moron that directed this movie, they're not even on screen together.
Oh.
Like, it is ridiculous. Like, they're on the same set, clearly. Because they're both like one's fighting outside on the ship and one's inside the. No, they don't touch. They don't have a single like. It's. Are you kidding me? Like, they don't even trade a punch. They don't trade a kick. They don't even trade a glance.
Damn.
Very disappointing. Very, very, very disappointing.
That sucks.
Yeah, that instantly took that movie on a 5-star scale from 2.5 stars to half a star.
Damn.
For me, because they don't fight. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, it's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's like, you know, have it like when Jet Li and Jackie Chan did a movie together. You know, the Forbidden Kingdom there.
Mm-hmm.
They had a fight scene. They had multiple fight scenes. Can you imagine if they had that movie and didn't have a fucking fight scene in it between the two of them?
No, I would want my money back.
Right. It's stupid. Yes. This is the same scenario. Same scenario. Yeah, that was disappointing. I watched the Liam Neeson's movies Retribution.
Was that another movie you watched?
Yeah, it's another movie I watched, yeah. You know, the one where he gets in the car and there's a bomb in the car and he's got to do what the bad guy says the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was called Speed.
No, because that was if you slowed down. This was if they just got out of the car. They could come to a complete stop, but if he got out of the seat, pressure plate, boom.
Gotcha.
Yeah, in the real world, Liam Neeson's probably would have been shot 72 times.
But he's Liam Neeson's.
By law enforcement instead of, like, you know, it was okay. It's definitely not something it's no Taken.
What about Taken 3?
Well, that it's better. It's, I don't know. I think the Taken TV series is better than Taken 3. But yeah, so it was all right. And what'd you watch for movies?
So I had two new ones. But the older ones, over the past couple of weeks, we've had a couple of times where, like, you know what, let's just go with some comfort stuff. You know, some things that have always been like a fallback, something we haven't seen in a while. So, like, Julia had two of them. Anastasia, classic animated film.
Yep.
Basically, I was playing a game and she's like, this music reminds me of Anastasia. I want to watch Anastasia. And so we watched Anastasia. Good movie. Always a classic. Likewise, Hunchback of Notre Dame, the Disney one.
Yep.
Which I still feel like he was robbed in the end, you know, because he didn't get the girl. He got friend zoned hard, you know, to the point where she kept saying over and over again, my friend, we have to do this, my friend. Thank you, my friend. You're such a good friend. And
he's a hunchback.
Yeah. But he saved her. He helped the town. He was the hero of the story, not the captain of the guard. She's like, dude, I'm going with you.
Yeah, no, he's a hunchback.
That's basing things on physical appearance, Michael.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, he's hideous.
Okay.
I'm being very judgmental.
Yes. Yes, you are. And the other comfort movie was, I had crashed out hard one night. She's like, what's a good comfort thing that you always go to? And I went old. I went back. I went with Basketball. Haven't seen it in years.
Forever.
I wanted to see if it still held up. And, you know, it honestly did. Like, there was stuff that you're like, ooh, I don't know if they could get away with that. Like the San Francisco Fairies as one of the teams. But overall, the joke still kind of hit. It was still enjoyable and got some good laughs out of it.
Nice. Nice.
What else you got?
This is a new... I can't believe I haven't watched this. I mean, I had to have seen it at some point. But I have no recollection of ever seeing it. I watched the movie The Prowler from 1981. Old school flash slasher flick that starts out in 1944 and then picks up in 1980 about college proms and a slasher that kind of looks like a World War II type guy. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. Like it was one of those fun, like, well, I guess I'm glad I haven't seen it because I got to see it now. So yay. Yeah. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
You enjoyed it? Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, the killer's kind of cool because it's like a World War II soldier costume, if you will. Like, that's his killing costume. And with a gas mask or whatever on, you know, to cover his face so you can't see who it is.
Okay.
And there's some pretty... what really made me watch it was that it was a slasher flick from 81 I have no memory of, but Tom Savini did all the special effects on it. And so, like, it's very gory, graphic kills and stabbings, and Savini did a phenomenal job with it. Like, I enjoyed it to the point where it's like, I think I want to get a physical copy for my collection.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
So, yeah, I enjoyed that thoroughly, though. I watched on Hulu. Well, let's go back to that one. I watched You'll Never Find Me on Shudder. I don't know if you remember the trailer.
Sounds familiar. Just the name.
Yeah. So it's, let me hold on. Let me find a better. I don't want to give it away. Let's see here. It's on Shudder. Let's see. Patrick, a strange and lonely resident, lives in a mobile home at the back of an isolated trailer park. After a violent storm, a mysterious woman appears at his door seeking shelter from the elements. And yeah, it's a pretty solid flick. It's a big storm. She shows up. It's a horror movie. There's maybe some supernatural elements involved as well. Thought it was shot really well. I thought it looked really good. It's 87% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. And, yeah, it's kind of a real good, I don't know. It's kind of a really good movie. I enjoy it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Yeah. It filmed in Australia. So yeah, a lot of suspense, tension. Yeah, it was real good.
Nice.
I watched Butcher's Crossing on Hulu. This is a Nick Cage movie.
Okay.
And apparently it came out in 2022. I don't know. It's on Hulu right now. It's based on a novel that came out in 1960. It's a Western. It takes place in 1874. It's about this kid who heads west from Massachusetts. And he just wants to see the world. He wants to see the Wild West. And he ends up out in Kansas, where he hooks up with and goes on a buffalo hunt. Back when they just slaughtered buffalo for their hides and, you know, wasted all the meat and everything. And Nick Cage plays the buffalo hunter, if you will, that he hooks up with to go out on a buffalo hunt. He just wants to see and experience the world or whatever. And that's pretty damn good movie. Actually, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I had to watch it over a couple of days because I started it and then Kate came home and we watched something together, and then I ended up finishing it the next day and everything. But yeah, I liked it pretty thoroughly. It's on the Hulu.
Thanks.
And I watched one other movie, but I'll let you chat about yours. You got two to talk about, two new to you?
Two to talk about. And I have a feeling that the last one that you watched is probably one that I watched as well. But
okay.
So one of them that I watched that was new to me was on Amazon Prime, Ricky Stenicki.
So I saw that was there. I didn't watch it. What'd you think of it?
Honestly, it was better than I expected. It was fun. It was not an Oscar-worthy performance, but John Cena has some fucking chops, honestly. Basic premise, for those who haven't seen it, is that there's these three childhood friends. They pull a prank on Halloween when they're kids, and it goes very badly. So they leave an article of clothing at the scene of the crime, and they write a kid's name in it, Ricky Stenicki. It's a made up name. Yeah. So they basically blame him for the crime. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, we're going to find this Ricky Stenicki kid. And so as they grow up and they get older, they always use Ricky Stenicki as the fall guy. They basically become fucking assholes. And they even get to the point where they have what they call the Bible, where they keep track of all the stuff that they've told people about Ricky Stenicki and where he's at right now and stuff. So it's a very elaborate line that they've got going on here. But then they need to produce Ricky Stenicki, and they have met this guy who is he's an actor. It's John Cena. And his big shtick is that he does not safe for work renditions of popular 80s songs. And they're immaculate. These songs are great. As he puts it, you know, you can turn any song into a song about jizzing. So they hire him to pretend to be Ricky Stenicki. And the banter is good. The writing was good. There's some cringy parts to it. But honestly, it was a lot of fun. We both really enjoyed it. And I wouldn't give it a hard sell, but I'd give it a sell. Like, I think you'd enjoy it. I think it's a fun movie for people to watch.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And then the last movie that I watched, which I'm wondering if it's what you watched as well, was Lisa Frankenstein?
Nope, I did not watch that yet.
Oh, okay. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah,
Julia was it worth also your time? Enjoyed it quite a bit. Yes, absolutely. It gave me vibes of, I want to say, like Heathers, Warm Bodies, and I don't know, maybe a little Beetlejuice, but I think you'll enjoy it. It's over the top. It takes place in the 80s, late 80s, I believe. It's 1989. And
nice.
The main character is Lisa. I can't even really get into it without giving away most of the plot. But basically, Lisa is a girl who's having trouble at school for reasons that they'll get into. And she meets a boy. It's really good. It's not really a horror, but there are some bloody aspects to it, not over the top. But definitely check it out. Like I said, you know, you've got some Heathers, you got some Warm Bodies. It's twisted, it's weird, but definitely worth your time.
Okay. No, I do plan on watching that. Night Swim comes on Peacock next week, I believe, as well. Or the end of this week, actually, maybe. Yeah.
The one about the pool that kills people?
Yeah. No, the other movie that I watched was Roadhouse.
Oh.
The Jake Gyllenhaal Roadhouse film.
Yeah.
On Prime. I liked it.
Really?
Yeah. You can't compare it to the first one. Like, it's not the first one. The only thing that's similar between the first one and this one is this guy goes to this rough bar and becomes a bouncer, and then there's extenuating backstory going on. Like, that's pretty much it. It's just the same synopsis as far as guy goes to a troubled bar to help clean it up.
Okay.
And he's got some baggage, you know?
Well, that and the other thing that they have in common is the name.
Roadhouse. Yeah.
Roadhouse.
Yeah. So that being said, I like the movie. It wasn't nearly as dumb as I thought it would be. Conor McGregor's character is exceptionally over the top. Like, over the top. Like, just,
I saw some stuff that said that he's not a very good actor. He's a good fighter, but not a good actor.
Well, it kind of feels like it's just him, but turned up to 100.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
But yeah, I like the movie. Would I go suddenly watch it again? No. Will I watch it again in several years? I don't know. Maybe. I haven't watched the original Roadhouse in 10 plus years, probably. So, but I like that, the Patrick Swayze one.
Okay.
So it's worth a watch. Yeah, it's worth a watch.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's it for me on movies.
Me as well. So I guess we just got news and trailers.
Yep, I guess just the news in the trailers.
I think I found where we're at, which is March 19th, 8:06 a.m. Starting with all 8 Spider-Man movies are returning to theaters starting next month.
Okay.
As a big Spider-Man fan, that's cool, but I don't know if I'm going to go.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I own them all. I literally own all 8 Spider-Man movies. They're like on a shelf, not too far away from where we are right now.
It looks like Aaron Taylor Johnson is going to be formally offered the role of James Bond.
How do you feel about that?
It's going to be a young James Bond.
Yes, that is, isn't it?
He's a good actor. He's kind of having a moment right now. So it could be cool. Maybe they're trying to, like, all of the James Bonds up to this point have been distinguished older men. I mean, Daniel Craig was the closest thing that we had to a, young dude, and he's not that young. But it could be that they're trying to say, you know, let's young him up a bit. Let's try to bring in some new blood to the franchise. I'm okay with that. What about you?
Yeah, I have no problem with bringing in some, you know, younging him up. I guess, are you going to start him over? I mean, let's be, there can't be any more books left, right?
I don't think so.
At this point, after 20-something films, do you really just have him go on his next adventure? Or do you start with a young guy and start him over?
Right.
I'm not saying remake the old movies.
Right, and you don't have to necessarily do like Batman Year One. You know, you don't have to be like James Bond Year One. But
right, yeah, I don't know, but I'll watch them.
Yeah,
when's the last Daniel Craig Bond movie?
It's been a while.
Did that come out already?
Yeah. Wasn't it
No Time to Die, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so I guess I have seen it then. Never mind. All right. For some reason I thought there was another one out there I hadn't watched yet. But
Daniel Craig went through that whole thing where it was like every movie that he came out with, they were like, this is the last one because he hates it. He doesn't want to, you know, be Bond anymore. And then suddenly they were like, well, he'll do one more. Well, he'll do one more. We got a very odd teaser trailer for Jeff Goldblum playing Zeus in a movie called Chaos.
Yeah. All-powerful God, yet insecure Zeus started to fear the end of his reign once he noticed a wrinkle on his forehead, possibly indicating the end of the world. He became paranoid and vengeful towards his lieges and later six humans connected with the ancient prophecy, possibly related to the end of his end of reign and the post-apocalyptic of Earth. Meanwhile, six humans start to discover their connections with each other and the grand conspiracies involving Greek gods. Yeah, that sounds way too complicated.
I think it sounds great, but I didn't get any of that out of the teaser because the teaser is very.
Yeah, I didn't get any of that out of the teaser. I went and read a premise online after to find out.
Gotcha. We got an official full-on trailer for The Acolyte, which looks pretty fucking badass.
I think that looks pretty amazing as well.
Gonna focus more on an assassin trying to take out Jedi and such.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
Looks real good. We got a full-on trailer for the Alien Romulus movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That looks phenomenal. I'm going to theaters to see that sumbitch.
As long as it's not Prometheus, I'm good.
Yeah, I know, right? But I'm pretty excited about it. The trailer looked fantastic, you know?
Yep.
Let's see here.
Very basic teaser for Beetlejuice, yeah.
You don't really need more than that. I mean, it's freaking Beetlejuice.
Yeah, we're going to go see it.
Pretty much. Let's see here.
Oh, this is the one that I was talking about earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. A thriller series about a potential deadly game of truth and lies as two men travel from Istanbul to Paris and London, with one of them possessing a secret the other needs to expose. Looks good.
Yep.
MI6 agent, CIA. Yeah, it looks good. Six episodes.
Yeah. I'll check it out.
Gonna be on Hulu, starting at the end of April.
The Penguin teaser looked badass.
Yeah, I was thoroughly impressed with that.
I heard, and I don't know where I heard this, so don't quote me on it, but I heard that it's possible we're going to get introduced to Clayface in this, which is interesting because it felt like these movies were more based in like real life stuff, you know, nobody who's really super powered so far. You know, we had the Riddler, who was very much based in just psychosis. We got the glimpse of the Joker at the end. But Clayface takes it to a whole new level because that's, you know, Mystique level stuff. So there's probably DC boys out there who are pissed at me for comparing the two of them, but I don't care.
Probably there is.
Baby Reindeer looks fucked up.
Yeah, it's about Richard Gadd's warped relationship with a female stalker and how it impacted him.
Yeah,
I don't know if this is actual, like, based on a true story or what the fuck.
I believe it is. Yeah,
comes out April 11th.
Yep, and they're trying to put a comedic spin on it, but whew, it looks
it's fucking dark.
Yeah,
yeah. We already talked about Nightstrom and Lisa Frankenstein getting streaming, and you've already seen one.
Yep.
Doctor Who official trailer.
Oh, woo. Excuse me. Yeah.
So good.
And then today we also got the listing of the episode names, which is going to be fun. I like how we got each episode name and it was like on a different background or a different thing that looked like what I'm assuming the episode will look like.
Yes. Yeah, that was done well. Yep. No, that looks done well.
You sent a trailer for The Dead Don't Hurt in theaters May 31st.
Yes, I did. Give me a moment.
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is the Viggo Mortensen Western. You probably won't care about it. I will watch it at some point.
Yeah, I didn't see anything in there that I really wanted to watch, but I was like, yeah, I can see why he sent that.
Yeah. In the 1860s, French-Canadian Vivian LeCloud, falls in love with a Danish immigrant to North America, Holger Olsen, in San Francisco, but they are separated and kept apart by the Civil War. So it looks pretty solid.
Hmm.
Bad Boys, Ride or Die. I watched it because you sent it to me because them the rules, but I didn't watch the last Bad Boys movie. I don't have an interest in watching this one.
I haven't watched since the first one. I watched the first movie and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then when they made a sequel, I said, nah, I don't need to. And then when they came out with the third one, I said, boy, I'm glad I missed that one. And now I watch this trailer and Julia walked into the room, looked and went, nope, and walked back out again.
Good call.
Yeah.
I regrettably have not watched the Spider Within Spider-Verse story. I have forgot to watch it.
Okay.
Couldn't watch it at the time because you said it was 7 minutes long and I was at work. And I was like, oop, I got to go back to that. And then I just literally completely forgot till right now.
It's good. It's only 7 minutes. It's good. That's all I'll say.
Kinds of Kindness? What?
But that makes total and complete sense. This is another one of those that has so many. It's the guy who just did.
It's an anthology film.
Yeah, but it's the guy, Poor Things.
Emma
Stone got the Oscar for it.
Yes.
It's
got Emma Stone, Jesse Plemons, Willem Dafoe. Yeah, it's got a big cast. Comes out in June. It's Kind of Kindness as a triptych fable with segments following a man without a choice who tries to take control of his life. A policeman who is alarmed that his wife, who was missing at sea, has returned and seems to be a different person. And a woman who is determined to find a specific someone destined to become a progenitor spiritual leader. So there's three different stories. The trailer doesn't make that clear, but it didn't thrill me at all.
No. It seems like it's going to be an artsy kind of, I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people will like it. It didn't do anything for me.
So there was about 8 to 10 movies on Amazon last Wednesday that suddenly were free to purchase HD versions of.
I missed them.
It was on Slick Deals and everything. Well, the next day Amazon said, hey, yeah, we're going to return that movie because
that
was a mistake. So Amazon somehow messed up. I don't know what they did or how they did it, but they messed up and then they just took it back from everybody, basically.
Damn.
Which is kind of like, how can you do that?
That's a dick move.
Yeah, it is. It is. They just returned everyone's quote unquote purchase.
Wow.
So,
well, I guess I don't feel as bad now, but.
Yep.
Huh.
Unfrosted.
Huh? The story of Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was a thing that needed to be made. And of course, it's loosely based on a true story, so it's probably going to be like that Flamin' Hot one.
Yeah, it'll basically be like, we use the name Pop-Tarts, but nothing else is real. So this looks
interesting. A 1960s battle between Kellogg's and Post to make a breakfast pastry.
It's got a fucking stacked cast.
Oh, it's Jerry Seinfeld, Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Peter Dinklage, Christian Slater, Bill Burr, Dan Levy, James Marsden. Yeah, no, it's a huge freaking cast.
It's interesting this is coming out right now while there's a big movement going on to boycott Kellogg's because of that whole, you should just eat breakfast for dinner, or just eat cereal for dinner because you're poor. So I don't know if this is meant to be good publicity for them or if it just happened to come out at the same time. But it's interesting.
Yeah. Ready or Not's getting a sequel. I thought she killed everybody at the end of it. So I don't see why we need a sequel, but whatever.
Does she marry into a new family? Cause it says Samara Weaving is returning.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if she's returning just to like
be a cameo. Extended families coming to get them.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, Louis Gossett Jr. died.
Yep. And then we moved on.
Yep.
Death and Other Details got canceled.
I have no problem with that.
Me either. In fact, I remember us talking about the finale and saying, you know, if they come out with another season, I don't think I'll watch it.
Yep. Chance Perdomo passed away.
Yeah, motorcycle accident. 27 years old. Yeah, one of the stars of Gen V. That's rough.
Yeah.
Let's see. April Fool's was pretty rotten today for some of the stories that we saw. I had sent you the one where they were announcing that Shudigatwa had decided to leave Doctor Who and Matt Smith was coming back as the 16th Doctor.
But that almost seemed believable, quite frankly.
Well, after what happened with David Tennant.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. So it almost seemed like, okay, sure. Except for the Daleks no longer exterminate, but educate. Okay, it's April Fool's Day. Never mind.
Yep. I saw another one. I didn't send it to you, but somebody had put something up there that looked like James Gunn's official Twitter. And it said that he was pleased to announce that Grant Gustin would be playing the Flash in the DCU.
Yeah.
That's just cruel.
That is very cruel. Or like Kevin Smith putting up Dogma Remastered coming 2024.
That is the biggest dick move. Like that right there hurts.
Yeah.
I like a good April Fool's Day joke, but that one just fucking hurts.
Yeah, someone was like, Dogmas, I've been out of print for years, and like I have the 2-disc special edition one. I didn't realize it was worth so much money.
I think I still have both of my copies of it.
Yeah, apparently it's worth quite a bit. I sent you the trailer for Festival of the Living Dead. Yep. My elbow. Did you watch it?
I did. It looked interesting.
It looks terrible, but it looks fantastic terrible.
It's a as soon as I saw Tubi original, I was like, oh, this is going to be a gem.
Well, it's a Soska sisters movie. So Jen and Sylvia Soska directed it. It says it's a spiritual sequel to George Romero's Night of the Living Dead because the main character's name is Ashley Moore. And that's supposed to be the great granddaughter of Ben from the first movie.
Ah. Okay.
Ashley Moore's Ash, who's like the great granddaughter of Ben from the first movie. Allegedly. Right. But it's these kids attend a festival, a music festival, to commemorate the original zombie attacks. And they get attacked by Living Dead.
Yep. After they hit a zombie, we're assuming a zombie, with their car. And
correct.
Have to go try to find help.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
I think that's it for the news and such.
I think so. Oh, hell. So, yeah, I'm on the Twitter. I guess I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And I will just say, most likely, we probably won't record next Monday, only because I will be in Philadelphia Wednesday through Sunday, and will not have watched a lot.
Okay.
By the time next Monday hits. But we can it by ear and see what happens.
Okay.
Don't forget, we got the eclipse next Monday. The eclipse. That's right.
Nice.
So, yeah. Cool. Anyhow, all right.
Talk to you not next week, but probably the week after.
Just assume 2 weeks.
Yeah. 2 weeks.